And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to start out this morning by asking if any of you know what is special about today, November 10th. Was anybody in the Marine Corps? What day is today, November 10th? Birthday of the Marine Corps, indeed. The Marine Corps was founded 244 years ago today, and Marines remember that. Have you kids ever watched Sesame Street? Did you ever watch Sesame Street when you were a little kid? Did you? A lot of us did. Well, I watched it with my kids. Sesame Street started 50 years ago today. And there is a member of my Rotary Club in Monmouth, the retired professor of education at Western Oregon, who was on that initial committee that helped start children's television for Sesame Street. But something happened on this day, November 10th, 536 years ago, that for me, and hopefully for you, is much more important even than the Marine Corps or Sesame Street. Do you know what it is? You're nodding your head up and down. Nope, close though. Martin Luther's birthday. Martin Luther was born in the year 1483 in Eisleben, Germany. Our Lutheran churches usually focus on the work and ministry of Martin Luther on Reformation Sunday, which I'm guessing that Pastor Oliver did about 2 weeks ago. But today I'd like for us to take another look at Martin Luther, a different kind of look for him, a semi-fictional look at Martin Luther. But I hope by doing it, we can also see some of the chief Bible verses that had such a powerful influence in Martin Luther's life and work. I'd like to do it like this. As most of us know, Martin Luther's main job was a college professor. A professor of Bible at the prestigious University of Wittenberg in the early 1500s. It was one of the most prestigious, to use that word again, universities in all of Europe. But let's imagine that Martin Luther was a college professor at a major university today. And what are most universities today known for? They're football teams, right? More so than their academic prowess, football seems to dominate the life of most universities today. If you've ever watched a college football game on television, or even a professional football game, when they are about to kick a field goal or to kick the extra point after a touchdown, very often there is somebody in the audience behind the field goal holding what I call a John 3:16 sign. They hold this sign with the cameras on it that says, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And they hold that sign up there in the hope that somebody will see it and look it up because they believe that is probably the most important verse in the Bible. So I began thinking, if Martin Luther would go to a football game today, what signs, what Bible verse would he hold up if he sat in the end zone? Having read a fair amount of Luther's writings, I don't think Martin Luther could stop with only one verse. So since there are four quarters in a football game, let's allow Martin Luther to hold up four signs through this football game of what he considers the most important verses in the Bible. And so let our fictional football game begin. And in the spirit of the Reformation, why don't we make it a true game between Lutherans and Catholics? The Lutherans would be in Wittenberg University, and what's a big Catholic university? Maybe Notre Dame that has a good football team to be the Catholic university. Notre Dame kicks off. And Wittenberg receives the ball and runs down the field in a series of plays. But Notre Dame's strong defense stops them at the 20-yard line. And the Wittenberg field goal kicker comes out onto the field. Martin Luther, sitting up there in the stands in the 10th row directly behind the goalpost, picks up his first poster. And I've got to get my first poster. And he holds it up high so everybody can see it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. Romans 1:16. That verse was a life-saving word from God for Martin Luther because of the peace it brought him as he struggled to find peace with God. Growing up and in his seminary training, Martin Luther had always been taught that God was a harsh, demanding judge who demanded perfection from all people. And Luther knew that he was not perfect. He knew that he was a sinner in the eyes of God. But as he studied Romans 1:16, Luther discovered the gospel. And the gospel assured him that a righteousness from God was not something God demands of us, but something God gives to us as a free gift that we receive by faith alone in Jesus Christ. That important verse is one that Martin Luther now wants to share with the world. So he holds up boldly as he knows the TV camera is on him as Wittenberg kicks their field goal and makes the score 3-0. During the second quarter, the teams change ends that they're going to, and now Notre Dame is coming down towards Martin Luther's field goal. They complete a long pass, and the runner makes it all the way in across the goal line to score 6 points for Notre Dame, a touchdown. Knowing that the TV cameras are going to be on him again, Luther goes back into his knapsack. And he picks out his second Bible verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, a verse that meant very much to him as he went through his theological and personal struggles. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18 meant a lot to the real Martin Luther as he began proclaiming the message of salvation by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ, because he was opposed by just about everybody, from the Pope down to the cardinals, through the bishops to the other priests in the church around him. All of his earthly props were yanked away from him, and Luther was left with only one thing that he could stand on, and that was the message of the cross. And stand he did. When he was forced to make a confession before the leader of the Holy Roman Empire, he said, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." He took his stand on the cross, the message of the cross, a message that seemed foolish to those who were perishing. But Luther found that as he stood on that message, he was experiencing the power of God. And in the power of God, he not only survived, but he prevailed. Back to the football game, our fictional football game. As luck would have it, Notre Dame missed their field goal. And so at the end of the half, Notre Dame was leading 6-3. After halftime, third quarter began, the teams again switched directions that they were moving in, and Luther is starting to wonder, will the TV camera be on him anymore? Wittenberg makes it all the way down to the 10-yard line this time, but again, they can't move through that strong Notre Dame defense in the red zone. And so once again, their field goal kicker comes out onto the field. And once again, Martin Luther retrieves his third Bible verse, a verse that he wants to share with all the world. And this verse is one that comes from the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Luther wanted to pick an Old Testament verse for a couple of reasons. First of all, his primary responsibility, as he taught at the University of Wittenberg, was that of an Old Testament professor. By holding up a verse of the Old Testament, Martin Luther was letting people know that the gospel is not just some new idea that came along late in time, but it was already prophesied by the ancient prophets of the Old Testament centuries before the birth of Christ. Under the Old Covenant, God had written his law on two tablets of stone that he delivered to his people through Moses. But under the promised new covenant, says Jeremiah, God is going to write his law in the hearts of people. And when God declares us to be righteous in a right relationship with himself by grace through faith in Christ, he is creating new hearts within us. Don't we sing after communion, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So as Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31, God puts his law not on tablets of stone, but in our hearts, so that in our hearts, our obedience to him will be an inward and truly spiritual experience. Wittenberg makes their field goal and ties the game 6-6 at the end of the third quarter. So, the fourth quarter begins of our imaginary football game. It looks like the game is going to end in a tie. The teams go back and forth, but nobody gets near the goal line. Neither team has been able to score a touchdown or even another field goal. And now the clock is winding down, and there are 3 seconds left on the clock, and Notre Dame is on the 35-yard line of Wittenberg. Kicking a field goal would be from the 45-yard line, a long distance for a college kicker to make it through the bars. Only time for one play, and the field goal kicker comes out again for Notre Dame's team. And Luther gets excited again because he's going to be able to share one more Bible verse with that vast television audience that's watching it all over the country. And so he goes to his knapsack. And he pulls out Romans 7, 21 through 25. It's a longer verse, but it's a verse that meant so much to Martin Luther. He says, "When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then he answers his question, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Luther knows that as we struggle to live our Christian lives, we need to take sin seriously. He himself took sin seriously, and it was his sharp awareness of his sin that led him to discover the forgiving grace of God in Jesus Christ. Luther knew, though, that even in forgiven sinners, sin was always there. It could always get the upper hand and lead us to do all sorts of things that we really do not want to do. I heard a story once about a bishop in the Church of England walking into a department store, and a Salvation Army girl came up to him and says, "Brother, have you been saved?" And he said, "Yes, indeed, sometimes, but not yet." And she was somewhat taken back by that answer. And he said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "I have been saved from the guilt of my sin. Sometimes I'm saved from the power of sin. I'm not yet saved from the presence of sin within me." Luther knew that we struggle from the presence of sin with us, and he cried out, as Paul did, "Who will rescue me from this living death?" But he knew the answer that Paul had found, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul knew what Luther discovered in the gospel, that Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the devil for us. But the devil is a defeated enemy, but not yet a removed enemy from our lives. And when Satan attacks us, as he does those who are the people of God, we always need to go back to that first Bible verse that Luther held up at the beginning of the game. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes." It might have been the luck of the Irish, but the field goal kicker for Notre Dame kicked that long 45-yard field goal. The clock ran out, and Notre Dame lost 6-3. No, I'm sorry, 9-6. I get my numbers right, 9-6. The game is over. Wittenberg has lost, but in spite of his team's loss, Martin Luther goes home feeling pretty good. After all, he's been able to get God's word out to millions of people by the signs he held up as they were kicking those field goals and extra points. At least he put those words of God, those Bible verses, before the eyes of people. Whether they will actually turn to their Bibles and open them up and read them, well, that's beyond Martin Luther's control, just as it is beyond the control of any preacher who preaches the word of God, that the people who listen to his sermons really hear them and believe them. But we're not living in a make-believe world. We're not living in a fantasy football game. We're living in the real world. And in this real world that you and I are living in, we are engaged in a life and death struggle against sin, death, and the power of the devil. And the question we need to ask ourselves as we go home from church today is this: will we ponder and read and think on and meditate on those important words from God that Luther directed us to by holding up his posters in front of the imaginary TV cameras of our make-believe football game? It's probably a few centuries too late to wish Martin Luther a happy birthday. After all, he'd be 536 years old today. And he died 473 years ago in 1546. But by the grace of God, his words and some of the hymns he wrote, like the one we just sang, are still with us. And they're still able to do what Luther gave his life to doing, and what the church is here to do still today, to lead people to Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And nothing in our lives is ever more important than that. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds secure in Christ Jesus through life everlasting. Amen.